Theresa May's education policy. It's of course been in the news all week since the budget. More grammar schools, more free schools, more effort to help social mobility, getting kids up the educational ladder who aren't from particularly privileged backgrounds. Now, we tackled this when she first made this announcement a few months ago. You completely attacked me. I did not see it coming. I can't lie to you. And I'm brave enough to revisit this topic again today. I might regret this by 8 o'clock, but this is my position, okay? I was state school educated. It was a long time ago. It was in Manchester. It was not a great school by any stretch of imagination, but it was all right. And I did okay out of the comprehensive system. I got to university and I got a first class English degree. No reason why that should have happened, really, given the education that I had, except that I had brilliant parents. Still have brilliant parents. I owe them everything. They were totally devoted. My mum was amazing. So I'm a big believer in the state system. I live in West London. Where I live, almost all the high schools are independent schools. They're private schools. Consequently, the state schools are not brilliant, to be completely honest, because the house prices are so high in the area that, I mean, listen, I'm not looking for your sympathy. What I'm saying is I didn't feel in the area that we live, I had the choice for my kids to send them to the comprehensive system. They go to a private school. If I didn't live where I live, I promise you they would be in the state system. My area is effectively a kind of, it's an illustration of what I think is going to happen with these grammar schools, because what happens is if you put all the, I resist saying brighter kids because I don't think it's got that much to do with the kids. Like I've said about my education, I think it's almost all about the parents. You put the kids with the very supportive and the very pushy parents in the best schools. What you're left with are the children who don't have that sort of support, the ones who really flipping need it. And they're generally in classes with a lot of kids per class, with maybe English as a second language, as a greater representation of that. And not the same PTA getting involved. You know the picture. So when I heard about these grammar schools, I thought it was a terrible idea. Then I read this today, that established grammar schools, as well as the new ones, must be forced to offer a lower pass mark to poorer pupils. And I'd just love to know what you think about that. Will that make any difference at all to social mobility? I mean, how many kids are they talking about? Let's say there's 25 kids in these classes at these state grammar schools. Say three of them are from the poorer families. I think that's probably a quite generous estimate. That's not going to change anything. That's not going to be a significant increase in social mobility. It's absolutely ridiculous. 0345 6060 973. What do you reckon? I live, like I say, in a very strange area of London, and kids are constantly at music lessons, at sports lessons, at extracurricular. They are honed and coached to get into these schools. I don't like it. I can't lie to you. I think it's just wrong on so many levels. I don't like the fact that you can buy privilege for your kids in their education. The intention to offer opportunities is sort of right, but this is not the way to do it. It is not about grammar schools. 0345 6060973. What am I missing? Loic Menzies is director of LKMCO, the education think tank. Hi, Loic.
Hi there.
Hi. What do you think about this? You're steeped in education. You presumably feel strongly about social mobility, as I do. What do you think about these current policies?
I do, and I completely agree with you, actually. I mean, I think what we're seeing here is a policy that's completely designed for perhaps an academic elite, but an elite, by definition, is a very small minority, and it's a policy that there's a huge amount of evidence which shows that it's going to be really damaging to the majority who are left behind in those other schools, with everyone else creamed off. And, you know, what we see today is, I think, a recognition by the government that there is that kind of evidence that this is damaging. Mm. And they're tinkering around the edges, trying to kind of fudge it and turn it into something better. But ultimately, it's a bad idea, and fudging it like that isn't going to make it any better.
That's interesting. So you think this is, they realise what they've done, and they're trying to issue, so it is tokenism, as I said in the beginning. It sounds like a token gesture, so that if Theresa May is accused of creating an elitist and divisive system, she can say, but however, we are prioritising places for poor kids.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the thing with education is everyone's got strong feelings about it. So many people are parents, everyone's been to school, and we have those strong feelings, and usually people disagree. But actually, this is an issue where the huge community of people who've looked at research on this and taught in schools for years can see just how damaging this is, particularly in some of the selective counties that still exist. It's very clear in those counties that it's having a really damaging effect on the vast majority. Because, I mean, the thing is that by definition, most people are average or near to average. And whilst people's kids are brilliant for all sorts of reasons, they are average academically. And these are schools that aren't designed for the average kid. They're designed for a small elite. And whilst they're benefiting, everyone else suffers the consequences.
It does feel like we're kind of going back in time largely, doesn't it? We used to have this system of secondary moderns and grammar schools. Just remind us why that went out of fashion.
Well, that went out because, I mean, we've seen that we need a country where all kids can succeed and where we have a greater number of people working in those kind of high-knowledge, high-skilled jobs that are growing and developing. And you don't get that by educating a small minority to be achieving the very highest. You get it by making sure everyone can do that. And also, ultimately, most parents out there, what they really want is a great local school for their child. Mm. And the thing is, this doesn't provide that. You know, what we've done recently is to really work hard to try and raise the standards in most schools. And that's what we need to be concentrating on, because there's great examples out there of fully comprehensive schools educating a huge range of kids, but doing brilliantly. And there's a few of those schools out there who are really beating the odds. And what we need to be doing is spreading what they're doing and making sure there are more schools like that are available to everyone, not just those who pass this really arbitrary test at the age of 11, which, like you said, is more of a measure of how supportive your parents are and what your chances have been up to that age than it is anything else.
What are the really great schools doing then, Loic?
So the great schools out there, there's an increasing amount of evidence about it, and you can see schools who've got a really consistent approach to everything, where teachers know what they're set out to do and are really well supported by management, where we reduce the workload on the teachers so they can concentrate on not on the kind of waste of time admin stuff, but they can really focus on planning and teaching great lessons. Where you've got a real culture of expecting everyone to do well, and you recognise that each child can increase rather than just picking out certain ones and labelling them as the high achievers.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much. That was Loic Menzies there, Director of LKMCO, the Education Think Tank.